You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Law of Attraction Radio Network, and of
International Success Coach and noted author Constance Arnold delivers life-changing strategies through her own spiritual practices, as well as with best-selling authors and experts that she interviews. Think, Believe, and Manifest is specially designed to empower your mind and words to work for you and to bring about a life you've been dreaming of. And now, here's Constance Arnold.
Well, how are you doing? I pray that you're making a decision, and it is a decision, isn't it? That you're going to really just have a great day today. Well, I am so excited about my show. I have with me my mentor, James Powers. And boy, I'm telling you, you need to call some of your friends, your coworkers, because we're going to be talking about how your habits create your life. And even before we get started, I can just tell you that the faith that's on the inside of me, the vibration of expectancy is just so huge. And I just want you to open yourself up and prepare to receive, you know, that download, that one thing that you need to begin to shift and change your life. Well, just a couple of things. Make sure you go to loaradionetwork.com and check out the brand new magazine. I mean, Jules just does a phenomenal job with that. And while you are on the website, we have some other wonderful hosts. Visit my website at fulfillingyourpurpose.com and take a look at my products, my coaching services. You've heard all of my clients on the air share their testimony, and would love to work with you. Just this week, I mean, every week I have so many coaching stories, but just this week I was able to help a client move from a profit to nonprofit. She has been receiving contracts in a profit status, and then she just heard this the last 2 weeks that she was going to have to change to nonprofit. So I assisted her with that process. Now she's ready to receive larger contracts, etc. So go to my website and you can listen to some of my coaching testimonies, and I would love to partner with you to help to create a life beyond your wildest dreams. And that's what God wants us to have. Let's see. I think that is it. So we're going to go to these quick commercials, and I'm going to be right back with James Powell.
Are you planning a motivational or training event for your company or organization? Look no further. Constance Arnold is an experienced, dynamic, and inspirational speaker and trainer. Constance has helped thousands and has a proven track record of 25 years as a keynote and leadership trainer for both private and public sector. Constance provides the latest cutting-edge breakthrough transformational principles that will align with your organization's vision. Participants will receive specific how-tos for both personal and professional empowerment. Contact Constance and partner with her to begin creating your next successful event. Her website is www.fulfillingyourpurpose.com and email is constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com.
Are you feeling stuck? Are you ready to live a life beyond your wildest dream? Constance Arnold is a seasoned and experienced professional licensed counselor for 25 years and a certified success life coach, and would love to partner with you to create your dreams. She's coached and trained over 10,000 clients on 5 continents and has a proven track record of success. Constance will assist you in getting a clear vision for your life and develop customized strategies, projects, and action steps to begin manifesting your dream. Contact her today at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com and visit her website at fulfillingyourpurpose.com.
Okay, I'm back. Really excited, really grateful. I have my mentor of 25 years, James Powers, James E. Powers. All of you know him and love him. You're always asking, when is he going to be coming back? He just has so much experience. He could be on the stages of the world sharing what he's sharing with us. And before we started the recording, I told him how grateful I am that he prepares and he's really seeking God. And you guys know he's very detailed into just really how to present to you. So I want you to be grateful for this great man of God just coming on and sharing life-changing revelation with us. So James E. Powers, welcome back to your second home to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Well, thank you very much. I was thinking when you were saying that, I said, I'd like to meet this guy. Thank you so much again for having me on. You know, I want to make sure that each time you request that I come on, I want to be able to have something in my heart that meets your desire to reach your audience. So I'm working with you and through you by the Spirit to deliver whatever it is that will bless people. So thank you very much for the opportunity.
Well, you know, you haven't been on since the beginning of the year. And whenever I contact you, I'm like, okay, he has something. God is saying something to him. What is it? And, what do you feel like people need to hear? So when I contacted him, he said, well, what do you feel like people need to hear? And then I put the ball back in his court. I'm like, what do you feel like people need to hear? And so he said that he had just felt led to talk about how your habits create your reality. And we're just going to really break down habits. I mean, all of us want to create a powerful life, or we could call it your habits create your life, or your habits create your dream. So let's just get into it, James Powers. Habits. I mean, I know for years you taught habits of highly effective people with Stephen Covey, right? And I was in that course. So let's just go ahead and get started. And I'm just going to let you take over, and we're going to talk about habits.
And that's a good place to start. Many times when we think about habits, we think about, well, someone, you know, they have this addiction, they have this to alcohol, or they bite their nails, or they twist their hair without even dealing with it. But habits are both good and they are bad.
Yeah.
And I want to just take a moment, and I want you to listen at words for 5-6 things.
Okay.
So for habits, a very famous person, Mahatma Gandhi, made these 6 statements, and I think they're awesome. So listening audience, listening one individual, we talk to one individual at a time, although we're talking to millions. It says your beliefs, what you believe, becomes your thoughts. And then your thoughts, the things that you think, whether intentional or not, become your words. Look, now we are building something. And it says then your words turn into your actions. And then your actions become your habits. And then your habits become your values, and listen to this, and your values become your destiny. If this is the kind of description, and you could look this up online and read it sometimes and realize you may be able to determine where you are and why you're there because of this little statement. Because if indeed your beliefs starting there ends up with your destiny through the route of habits, you could be on a collision course with a very, very unsatisfactory destiny. Could you imagine making a whole life journey and get there and that's not where you were supposed to be because your habits took control and you had no control?
You know, that's powerful, you know, and I love that you said a few minutes ago how our habits can be either good or bad. And just hearing you say that, it sounds like habits are really big.
And they are. It's a big deal. And you say, why is it such a big deal? Charles Duhigg, D-U-H-I-G-G, when I got decided and Constance and I were talking about what to do, I first looked up habits. And the most prominent book that continued to come up was The Power of Habit. Why Do We Do What We Do in Life and in Business? And that was by Charles Duhigg. And he said, folks, wait a minute. Habits is a big deal, not just for our lives. And it's a big deal because 40 to 45% of what we do every day sort of feels like it's decisions we make. Unfortunately, that 40 to 45% of the things you do every day is not because of decisions. They're because of habits that's already developed on your hard drive. Wow. Now, could you imagine doing 40 to 45% of anything during the course of a day, and none of that had anything to do with you being intentional about that day? It's only because it's on your hard drive and replaying today, and literally, because it's so big, it will replay for 60 and 70 years, and you wind up, you get to the point where you, the person you buried were the habits you had.
So James Powers, like, we have the habit of waking up, brushing our teeth, drinking water, those kinds of things. 40 to 45% of what we do every day is because it's become a habit. And it's in our subconscious, and we don't even know we're doing, it's on autopilot.
Exactly. And you hear some people, I don't know why I did that. We know that if you turn on your computer and put in your password and pull up a file, are you surprised why the file is there? It got on your hard drive, got saved, and it's still there. So this session today is to say, we have to make some decisions about knowing exactly what our habits are. Mm-hmm. Now, we think about our bite my nail, but there are some other kinds of habits that we live with, and it's about our thinking. We have a habit of thinking that's corrupt, and that kind of thinking is already nailed on your hard drive.
Oh, wow.
And let me just say this.
Okay.
What we're trying to do is to say, do you want to live the life you were destined to live, free of someone or something programming what you do other than yourself? If you want that kind of life, this is going to take a little effort, but it's going to be worth the journey.
So James Powers, so you're saying that people can make a decision that I'm making a decision that I'm going to deliberately begin cultivating habits that help me to create the life that I desire instead of living on those automatic 40 to 45% habits that have been stored in our subconscious.
Absolutely. And it's important for me to say in relationship to that, that it's so powerful that where your automatic things are stored is in a part of the brain that has nothing to do with your memory. This is this place where it stores all of that, but now we can come back and say, since they are formed in a different part of the brain, we can intentionally get a handle on what our habits are and decide that we're not going to let those habits be created neurologically in us without our awareness. Another way of saying it, new habits, new behaviors can become automatic through a process of what they call habit formation. See, when you thought, the habit becomes a process through habit formation. So old habits are hard to break, and new habits are hard to form. Why? Because the behavioral patterns which we as humans repeat become imprinted in on our brains. So why not take the positive habits we want to develop and begin to go through that process of how that happens?
That's powerful. And so people can begin to make a decision. I want to, let's just say, exercise. I want to have more health and vitality. And so it's possible to form new habits through repetition. Is that how that goes? I know we're going to break it down a little further, but
yeah, that's it. And what we're going to say, there's we can say this early. There is a three process that handles all habits, good or bad. And I'll just say that's the idea of a cue or a trigger, the routine, and the reward. Every habit you have, good or bad, went through that process without your knowing it, and they are there because that's the way it works.
Wow. So do you want to talk about that process now? So habits don't just happen. They are formed. And, you know, I think it's so good that people know, okay, so this is how habits are formed. So if I want to change that from a bad habit to a good habit, I can do that. So what would that look like? Break down that three-step or that three-component process for people, how habits are formed.
Okay, and I want to make this statement because just before, it's important. We know, quote, the bad habits. You and I were to get on the street and ask people, what are some of the good habits? They will struggle for one and could give you 50, bad habit. Mm-hmm. So to the audience, if someone asked you, what is a good habit? Here's what you could say. It's a behavior that is beneficial to your physical or mental health. It is often linked to a high level of discipline and self-control.
Woo!
Now, habit has to be beneficial to you emotionally, mentally, emotionally, and physically. And you're going to find that it's linked to a high level of being disciplined and having self-control. Then we come to the place, okay, then, how then can I develop one of these good habits that's good for my physical well-being and my mental well-being?
Let me say something, James Powers, because I'm thinking I want to give Ham, let you take a sip of water right there. I want to give my listeners just an example of a good habit in my life. And you've been knowing me for all of these decades, and you know that I have always exercised some kind of way. And so a good habit that I have that I feel really benefits me physically, mentally, and is linked to a high level of discipline and self-control is that almost every day I move my body in some form. It might be just walking 10 minutes. It might be walking 30 minutes or an hour. It might be doing weight training. It might just be in doing some sit-ups, some crunches, etc. And so that behavior is like housed in my DNA. And I feel like that's a great example of me receiving the benefits physically, mentally, psychologically, and it is discipline. A lot of my friends say, oh, you're so disciplined. And sometimes I don't do it every day, but it's a part of who I am. And it's really sort of just branched off into other areas. So I just want to share with listeners, that's an example of a good habit. Now I got some bad ones, but we don't have enough time for that today on the show.
I think you may have habits on your hard drive, but you don't have them as ownership.
What does
you
that
see,
mean?
You see, when you say, I have some bad habits, you have owned them.
I have?
They are not yours unless you intentionally put them there. They may be in you to control your behavior, mm-hmm. but it's a play on word. You say, I have some bad habits. There are some bad habits in me that are influencing me, but they are not mine.
Oh, no. Mm-mm.
Very important.
Yeah, I know they're there.
Because you confessed that they were yours, you just added to the whole process of those habits thinking, we belong here.
Ooh, I take that back. No.
Okay.
No, I'm aware of them, but they don't belong to me.
Let me give you a quick one for me.
Okay.
It occurred to me that one of my great habits, and this is not going to be altruistic in any way, is that I have a caring heart for people, and I'm always looking for the trigger to take place to look and see, oh, I wonder what this person needs. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether they know what they need. So I'm constantly engaging people at the level that if you care about people, if because I care about people, I always have a habit of wanting to let the trigger be there, get into the routine to do something. If it's nothing but to say to them something nice or make someone at the drive-through window smile because they are in the work mode and I want them to be in the human mode.
Yeah.
Okay. But here's it is about how habits are formed.
Okay.
Every habit starts with a psychological pattern. A psychological pattern. Remember, once on the program before, we talked about a pattern where someone buy a pattern, sew a garment, and the pattern, the garment looks exactly like the pattern if you follow the outline. The only thing about a habit, the habit knows how to do the pattern is already going to follow this prescribed manner, and it's going to go through what they call a habit loop. That loop is a three-part process that says first, we talked about it earlier, there's that cue. For instance, I'm stressed out. I'm stressed out, and the next thing I do is I've now gone, that triggers it, and following that trigger is a routine. So what if I look down at my fingernails and see which one I need to start biting on? I'm into the routine now. And because I'm doing that, the reward is I don't feel the stress because now I'm biting my nail. That's the process. The trigger, I'm stressed about something. Look down at my nails, start biting on them, not even knowing it. Mm-hmm. Quick story. I was in an office with a lady I had to share, and this is how it worked. She was a smoker. She would get so stressed about deadlines, and I didn't like the smoke. She would have a cigarette lighted in the ashtray and didn't know it. Before she knew it, she lighted two or three cigarettes without knowing it. That's a habit because she needed more nicotine. She wouldn't say, I wanted to light three cigarettes. She needed more nicotine. And the thing the cue said, get a cigarette. Well, you got two of them. I didn't notice that. That's the way a habit works. And when she gets there, the nicotine gives her the reward and she's great.
Mm. Wow. Wow. Well, you know,
that tells the brain, once we get that trigger mechanism, the brain go into what is called automatic mode. It doesn't wait. The part of the brain that does that says it's time to go in automatic mode because I need to follow through on this process. And the other part of it is, it lets the behavior unfold. That's what it said. That's what we think about when we think about habits. That behavior will unfold without you having to do anything about it, audience. That's the process of how a habit is formed. There's got to be a cue or a trigger to set it off. Then you got to get into the routine of doing it. And the routine of doing it gives you the reward of the satisfaction of, oh, that feels better.
Mm-hmm. Because we've heard people say, well, I got to smoke a cigarette because, you know, my nerves are bad.
Absolutely.
It calms me down.
Absolutely. And sometimes they only say that around other people because they're justified. But when nobody else is around, they just go through it right up without even thinking about it. And they're smoking and enjoying the reward. They're only saying it to us to say, I really shouldn't be doing this. And I'm telling you that. But normally they don't do that.
Yeah. And so, James Powers, let's talk about the a story that I'm sure a lot of listeners can relate to. And listeners, we're talking about how you can begin to deliberately choose to formulate good habits that create just a life beyond your wildest dreams. And in one of the books that you shared with me, The Power of Habit. They had a story in there about a lady named Lisa, and she was like in this research program, and I'm just going to give you just a summary of it. And James Powers, you can jump in at any time. So Lisa was 35 when she first was a part of this research program. So at 16, she was drinking and smoking cigarettes, and she had always struggled with obesity. She had only stayed on most of her jobs for like less than a year, and she had like $10,000 in debt. And she had gotten married, and she was in, I think, Cairo, Egypt. And her husband came to her and said, I'm getting ready to leave you. I fell in love with another woman, and I'm not interested in you anymore. And so she had always struggled with obesity. So I'm sure, like most women, we would ask them, you know, what's wrong with me? And she started drinking more, smoking, just binge eating, depressed, just staying in the house, etc. And so she went to Cairo, Egypt, for a visit, and she was just extremely depressed, as you can imagine. And so she kept the blinds closed. She just, she was like harassing her ex. She was following him, stalking him, etc. And so she was just so depressed. She got out of the hotel and she took a drive in a taxi. And so I think she was probably just sitting in the back seat looking. And she said to herself, I've just got to find one thing to focus in on. If I could just find one thing to get my mind off of this. And they were passing, I guess they were doing a little tour, and she saw a desert, and she said in her mind, she said, I'm going to come back next year and walk across that desert. So she left, went back home, and then she started to focus in on that one thing. And she started exercising and, of course, focusing in on that one thing. I'm going to walk across that desert. And then, of course, you know, when you start exercising, your eating changes. So what happened to her, James Powers, was she lost 60 pounds. Was lean, vibrant, became a tone runner, looked 10 years younger, had been on her job for, 39 months. So when the research team saw her, they wanted to know, what was the one habit that you used to conquer all of this? And what she said was, I chose one thing to focus on. One habit that I was going to do, which was walking across that desert. And so that's what changed her whole life.
Wow. Now, that story, and I think it was her or someone else I read, they said they looked at her brain waves.
Yeah.
Brain. And they discovered something. There was evidence of all of the other negative thoughts that was there in her brain. But what they noticed was the new thoughts had gone and had entered in and subjugated, if you will, those old thoughts. And you can see the two. The new ones were there doing it. Now, to me, when I heard that, it says that when we begin to think and go in the direction of the positive habits we want, it does not, we don't break a habit. We replace a habit, and the brain chose to say, we will override all of these negative habits because of the power of that one thing she decided to do.
That's profound.
It is absolutely, it's almost as if when you go out and crank up your car, all of the mechanical parts of that car, the steering wheel, all of it runs with such precision. All we do is crank it up, drive it off, and there are thousands of things happening that are positive on a new car. So this new Lisa had new parts of her brain that overlapped and erased, if you will, the old habits that she had.
Wow. And it started with just focusing in on one habit. I think they call it the keystone habit.
Yes.
That one habit, listeners, that one thing, I'm just going to start walking, change. She went from walking to running half marathons, to running marathons, to eating right, to releasing 60 pounds, to saving money, to keeping her job. And she went back the next year And that was her focus, just that one habit. And I just want to say right here, listeners, you know, if you could right now just say, wow, if Lisa can do it, you can choose one habit and do the same thing yourself. It's profound.
It is. And the power of it is, you would say, well, that was Lisa. You heard the story of where Lisa had to travel from.
Yeah.
Dejected from a divorce, overweight, all those kind of things. And now that was so powerful, she did not intend for Constance Arnold, who is the prolific host of the Think, Believe, and Manifest show, and James Powell will be talking about her to another large audience and all the notoriety she's received because of the decision.
Yeah.
About one habit.
And you know, James Powers, I want to say right here, obviously Lisa was, like you said, depressed, dejected, rejected. And so many of you may be in like such a deep place that you feel like, wow, I can't do anything. But you know, you guys have heard me say baby steps. She made a decision in her mind and she baby stepped her way with that one habit to really radically change her life.
And this is a good place for you. Uh-huh. Just opened up a place. You turned it back and said, someone is listening to this and saying, great for Lisa, but not for me. Mm-hmm. We are saying the reason you are hearing this is because it's for you.
Yeah.
This is your moment to change. If you say you can't change, then you are participating and cooperating with the automatic part of your brain that says, we'll keep giving you what you had yesterday mm-hmm. and the day before. So we're asking you to just be sensitive to what you're hearing. This could be, not only say this could be, it is, if you can receive it, the beginning of a new kind of life, because you can control it.
Yeah. So it seems like that bad habits are easy to make but hard to break. Is that true, or is that just in our thinking?
It is. Well, the reason they're easy to make, they're just as easy. It's a tricky statement. It's just as easy as the good ones are, because they go through the same three processes.
Yeah.
The reason they look like they are hard to make, because we weren't paying attention to making the bad habits. Then when we become aware of it, that's why, if we realize, it says there's a full 40% of our time and our mind is on something else when we complete actions automatically. So if it's happening automatically, a full 40% of your time is on something else. So it's just sitting over there with a green light flashing, saying, lay the track for this bad habit, and you're somewhere else thinking about something else.
And so clients, I'm so used to saying, but listeners can really deliberately choose, I'm going to break this habit and create a new one.
Yes, but remember, they can't break it.
Right. Okay.
See, that's what they'll say. Yeah. And I'm glad you said that, because that makes a point. You cannot break a habit. You look at the habit and decide what habit that you would like to pursue, and not pay attention to the bad habit, because you can't break it. You replace it. The brain did it for Lisa.
Yes.
Once she start programming herself toward that one thing.
So how can listeners begin to create a new habit, and can they do it within 21 days? That's what we've been told.
Well, sometimes there's a little bit of some people saying, yes, it can.
Mm-hmm.
But you start in the first 21 days paying attention to and getting clear. And some say even up to 2 months to look at the habit. Don't try to start the habit instantly.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the habit. And probably in 21 days, you begin, the research says that it can probably, the habit is probably right. They're probably right that you can get the habit locked in. Lisa saw her possibility in the moment that she said it.
Mm.
the moment she began to do the things she was going to do, it could have been 21 days. So, yes, listeners, decide that you want to replace some bad habits. But I don't want you to even focus on your bad habits. I want you to focus on your life. Can you imagine a life without the habits you have? Now, to me, that is awesome. What would my life look like if I did not have some of these negative habits? Once you see what it could look like, choose one like Lisa. I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. And the moment you begin to do it, the process began.
Well, you know, I'm going to share another story about me. And I got this from you because every time I see you, your car is just immaculate. It's clean, you know. And I think I shared this on one of the shows that we did. I might have a briefcase in the back, my gym bag in the back, you know, my sneakers, then two pair of heels or something like that. And I just remember saying, I'm just going to be, I didn't think about, oh, my cluttered car. My belief was I'm going to create the new habit of every time I pull in my garage, I'm going to take everything out of my car and put it in its place. And wow, that was my new thinking. I'm going to take everything out of my car and put it in its rightful place. And I just began doing that. So now that's on automatic pilot for me. And I feel better with, you know, with the clean car. I feel more creative and all of that. So that may seem so small. And what I just want to share with the listeners, it might be making up your bed every day. That small habit may lead to something bigger. And, you know, that's just an example of how I'm taking this whole habits thing and just employing it in all these different areas.
And I want to say to you, each time you do this, and I hope this doesn't sound like I'm saying, look at me. Mm-hmm. There are two things that I realized that I wanted to do when I'm in the kitchen. I made a decision because I wanted to do this. I'm going to make breakfast every morning for my wife. Mm-hmm. Well, it started off like that. I had a desire how to make it, and she complimented, and it felt good, and we enjoyed sitting together. And I realized that there's two things I do. I got the habit of doing that. I get up without having to think about it, and I go in, and my mind knows where to get all of the fruits, get all of those things. She asks me now, what are we out of, because I'm so locked in. But here's the point. That habit got me in a place of thinking, well, every time I leave, there will not be a single dish in the sink because they belong in the cupboard, in the place where they are. Not because I'm trying to do it. I knew the necessity of not putting it there because when I come in, she come in the evening, you don't need to have to get things out of the sink. You need to come in to a car just like you stepped in a new car. Mm-hmm. And those habits have set things well. I didn't realize how well that was working until about after 3 weeks, and I'm thinking, it's no big deal. The habit in my mind is to get up and do it, and she'll have to say sometime, I'm not going to do it this morning. They're making breakfast this morning. I'm thinking, okay, my brain won't get that. I don't have to be in here, but I like the idea. When you keep your car uncluttered, it was a representation of how your brain looks at your surrounding.
Yeah.
A cluttered closet. Anytime I want to see when I'm struggling with something, I go and look at my closet, my trunk of my car, and the back seat. If there is more than just one thing there, it realizes it's reflecting in how I'm thinking.
That's good. So basically what we're saying to listeners is that they don't need to try to break or stop a bad habit. They just need to begin to choose and develop good habits and stick with it. Is that what we're saying?
Precisely.
Okay. So how can listeners begin to develop good habits and, you know, stick with it? Because a lot of times people say, well, I'm going to go to the gym 5 days a week and for 2 hours. How can they easily begin to develop these habits that will over time, like in Lisa's life, expand and impact other areas of our life? But how can they stick to that?
Well, the first thing you have to do with your habits is, this is one that I discovered in this process. If you can't identify your bad habits, you don't know you have them. Mm. That's a huge, huge opportunity to say, I don't want to do this. I don't want this habit. And first of all, I said, you heard those triggers. You get acquainted with your habits. Mm-hmm. Now, isn't that something? Get acquainted with your habits. And then you say this all the time. Go slow.
Yeah.
Make baby steps, as you call them. And then one of the things you do when you decide what you're going to do, set aside, as Duhigg said, set aside about a month just thinking about your habits before taking any action. Mm. Just think about
it. Most people don't do that. They just say, I'm going to start.
I'm going to start. Because when you start, that lady saw what she needed to do. And what you need to do is, he said one other thing, you have to remind your future, or imagine you the person you want to be, and remind that person now about the bad habits. Now, this is where we're going. This habit can't go with me. You remind the habit that it doesn't belong with you in the place that you're going. He said, how do I do that? You do it like everything else. You say it to yourself, and then you say it out loud. Mm-hmm. And one of the big things for me, sometimes, my friends in the audience, you have to change some of your running parts. Ooh. Not that you're going to dismiss them, but sometimes they will remind you and reinforce some of the habits you have because you have a peer relationship and you don't know how not to say no, but that habit will take you. Change your environment, including your people.
Let me make a quick statement there. I was working with the client and she was in the process of releasing weight. And what she realized was that all of her girlfriends, you know, she called them her posse, who she hung out with, they were extremely overweight. And so for entertainment, they would always say, girl, we're getting ready to go to the buffet, if you know what I mean. So she realized that she needed to be around people who were, you know, health conscious, who were interested in releasing weight. And she eventually, over time, I mean, she loved them from afar, but she had to change the people that was in her life.
Wonderful.
Because she was changing her habits of eating healthy and, you know, releasing weight. So that's a great example of changing your environment, including people.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that brought to mind one of the statements when I was teaching some of the Covey principles. Listen to this. You can't talk your way out of a problem you behaved yourself into.
Oh, Lord.
That was one of my favorite. I took that with me. Try to talk you. You know what? Lisa didn't do that. She didn't say, I want to talk my way out of losing this weight. I behaved myself into it because all of the things I was going to. She behaved herself out of the old issues into the new issues. And that's one of the things that you say. You have to learn to talk to yourself about yourself in the way you want to be, not in the way that you are. Mm. Constance, you're a very powerful coach. People can coach themselves in some way. Talk to yourself about the desired person that you're trying to be. We don't talk out loud about the people we want to be. So you can't develop a powerful habit until you can talk and coach yourself into some things about who you want to be. And then when Constance is coming, and I'm sure if you, those of you who have been coached by her, you hear her setting up the place that you can go and how you need to get there. Is that right, Constance?
That's right. That's right. Wow.
So those are some of the ways that you can do it. There are many others. And if you ever have a bad habit relapse, go into session with yourself. Call a meeting with yourself and see what you need to talk about.
Because I remember you said it takes about 2 months for a new behavior to become automatic.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. And some people say about 66 days or more. Some focus on that. And that means you are spending a lot of time talking about what you want the behavior to be without focusing on, I got to break this habit.
That's one. So in our last 10 minutes, wow, time is going too fast. Let's tell people how can they begin to develop good habits and really stick with them. You know, and just I just want to say again and reiterate again, this is life changing. That you can make a decision to just focus in on one habit. And like Lisa, it can change your entire life.
Well, there are two groups that I looked at some things. Of course, Mr. Duhigg with his book. And then there was another one, James Clear, if you are interested in that. And one of them said something you said ago. Start what? Ridiculously small.
Whoa.
Most people want to create a big change as quickly as possible. But when you start small enough, the reason you do that is if it's small enough, it can't be too big for you not to conquer day by day. Mm-hmm. Bite off too much, then you can chew. And then you can get discouraged. So start ridiculously small. If they said, if you want to get hooked, there was a program called Get Hooked on Phonics. Way back, I think it was on Sesame Street, and they would tell them about phonics and how to pronounce what. I think one of these gentlemen said, get hooked on your habit. Mm. Not your old habit, the habit you want to have. Get hooked on it. And as a result of that, you need to be very intentional about your habit. You cannot afford to be, okay, I'm in it sometime. Be very intentional about it. And the other thing you do, you need to tout your own small successes. Talk to yourself about what it is. Most people say, well, I just did this little bit here and I didn't do enough. Accentuate the little things that you accomplish. Mm-hmm. That's the old statement, accentuate the positive. You don't have time for the negative. One of the other things is get a group of people around you who could be your cheerleaders and be careful, though, who you tell what they're going to do, because that person can very easily get jealous of what you're doing and try to talk you out of it. And that's not what you need. So that's where you want to get someone around you know is a good cheerleader for you. When you heard Constance come on and she was telling you some things about how I practice, I heard that as a affirmation of something that I do that she is wanting to do that. She was intentional about saying that. There's some truth about it, but it was the way she was choosing to affirm the behavior I had that I was zeroing on. I said, she does that for people. And I thank you for that, even doing it again. I should have said it earlier. Thank you for the affirmation of what I do and the way you view that. So have people around who can do that. And there's something that they said you ought to do. Pre-commit to your habit. In other words, communicate with your habit as well. How do you do that? Imagine what it would be like if you had that. Here again, the imagination working with habit change. Think is very critical.
So imagine yourself going back to Lisa really quickly. She was, you talked about have a clear intention. She was clear.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to walk across this desert. And then I'm sure since she was obese, She didn't start running. I'm sure she had to start ridiculously small.
Ernestine McGregor.
Ooh.
I'm sure she had to start ridiculous. Maybe she just had to walk from one mailbox to the next. So I'm just saying to listeners, you know, when you choose to start a new habit, choose one, focus in on one, let that be the keystone habit that leads to other things breaking out in your life. Start ridiculously small and just do it every day. And who knows where that will lead. Look at Lisa. We're talking about her.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's important to emphasize again, don't ever underestimate the power of what is. See, this is, we're not asking you to do something that you can't do. The brain wants to do it for you. Your brain already is waiting for you to give it a good habit, because the bad habits come without your permission. Give the brain an opportunity to hear you say what it is. And you can do this. You need to do this. You need to be your better self.
Yeah.
Make a note of that.
So James Powers, we got 5 minutes.
Okay.
And so in summary, it's so much and it's so awesome and it's so hopeful. I mean, I could just feel the hope, you know, just emanating through us to the world, to people. So what would you like to say to people in closing just about developing these habits?
Well, I will start with something that Lisa did somewhat. You need to really discover the real you and choose not to let that person live the habit that you already been living. Mm. The real you may be somebody you have not met yet. We're saying that once you get a vision of what you want, the habits you develop after that will produce, as it says early, you will walk through the process we said early, and it's worth repeating. Absolutely, Mahatma Gandhi.
Mm-hmm.
Gandhi said, look at your beliefs and you'll get your thoughts. And then from your thoughts to your words, and from your words to your action, and from your actions to your habit, from your habits to your values, and from your values to your destiny. Believe that that is a clear direction, along with your looking at what habits can do for you. Leave this session today saying, I did not know that habits were controlling me at the level that it's controlling me. That of those 12,000 to 60,000 thoughts you get per day, 95% are the same thoughts you had the day before. Mm. And I'm saying to you, please don't allow yesterday's thoughts to be today's thoughts automatically. Mm. That's going to take some work.
Yeah.
I think the Lisa example is a perfect example of how Constance told you about how she chose to, I think earlier talked about, I'm going to take this one stride and I'm going to make this one lap in the pool, whatever it is. Do something that you know that you can do and do it with the idea that the outcome would be great.
That's powerful. And, you know, just in closing, James Perth, I just want to say to people, you know, sometimes what we think is small, God is partnering with you to make it big.
Absolutely.
And there are things that are happening in the spirit world where, you know, many of you believe in God, higher power, spirit, that is partnering with you to create a life beyond your wildest dreams. But like James Powers said, your brain is just waiting for you to do something different.
Or absolutely.
You just think a certain way, like Lisa did. I'm going to walk across this desert. And then she probably said to herself, how is that possible? I have the habit of binging, and I'm drinking, and I'm not sleeping, and I'm 60 pounds overweight. I always say that the how is up to God. It's just your part to like James Power said, become clear about what you want to do, and then just make a decision. This is the new habit that I'm going to create, and just be patient with yourself. And I love what you said, and start ridiculously small. I'm gonna put that in my brain, and just keep moving forward. Wow, I just really appreciate you, James Powers, for coming on and sharing this. I feel like this was just a private session between me and you, because I really needed this, and it really shed a new light on the info that I knew about habits.
And I chose to say that the destiny that I have and the grave that I will be buried in will not hold me without having taken advantage of the power of habit. I want them, I always say, to bury the right guy. The guy who fulfilled and saw what was necessary. So thank you for responding to the idea that this would be something will be helpful to your audience. And finally, don't try to do two or three things and look at all of your habits and get depressed about your habits. Choose Make a list of them, put it aside, and choose one thing you want to change that's positive in your life.
James Powers, I can't say it enough. I love and appreciate and so grateful to you and Ethel, your wife. Thank you so much for mentoring me all of these decades and for speaking to the world today.
Thank you very much. You are a powerful exhibit A of practicing what you preach.
Thank you. Well, everybody, I want you to tell friends about the Think, Believe, and Manifest talk show. And as I say every week, you may not know it or feel it, but you're surrounded by the love of God. And you know that I love and adore you. And I just want you to think and say this one thought: something good is going to happen to me today and through me. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Think, Believe, and Manifest. Constance Arnold will be back next week with another great show just for you. For more information, please visit fulfillingyourpurpose.com.